the truth.
I know I sound like Lawrence Welk. Welcome to Stop the Presses live today, Friday, 22 October, 2021. And my guest today is the one and only Hesher of AlternateCurrentRadio.com. We're also joined by engineer Ron Avery. And yes, we're getting spiffy once again. We're video simulcasting this to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y. /stop the presses. Ron says he's no relation to Tex Avery, who was the cartoonist who drew up Droopy Dog, one of my favorite cartoons. I'm not sure if Ron is hiding that. Maybe he is a secret cousin to Tex Avery. I'm not sure.
No, I get accused of being related to the jeweler, James Avery.
Ah.
Yeah.
But no relation, I assume.
Yeah. No connection.
Great. Welcome, Hesher. I was on your show last night, the Boiler Room Roundtable, the sort of the Rejects Thought Criminals Club. And once again, we had some pretty good analysis adorned with some humor. And I was glad to be part of the show. I couldn't hang on the whole time, but good stuff. And how's it going today?
Going great. Loving the Texas fall weather here. Been working on the business model here at AlternateCurrentRadio.com and improving the video broadcasting studio aspect of it, and getting out and putting a lot of hot lead downrange on paper bad guys, doing a lot of rifle drills out here, living that Texas life and loving it. Mark, how you guys doing today?
Oh man, that sounds like I'm seeing beer, brisket, firearms, more beer, more brisket, more firearms, news, beer, brisket, firearms. Did I mention the beer and the brisket and the firearms?
Oh, yeah. Texas, you got to love it.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I'm still in Michigan, my home state, original home state. And as of sometime next week, earlier in the week, I'll be heading back to Texas, my adopted state. And as I mentioned on the show on your Alternate Current Radio last night, Hesher, I expect to go around November 6th to Del Rio in that area where there's supposed to be a big barbecue to give a pat on the back to the Border Patrol who are trying to enforce the border in the age of Biden. How does one protect a national border in the age of internationalist Biden? And, you know, it bears repeating. I'm just sort of segueing into the show. Today's pretty much an open discussion, but it bears repeating that really their Democrat and Republican is a pretty meaningless distinction now. It's really just you're either an American in the constitutional sense, dare I use the word nationalist, or you're an internationalist. That's the real dividing line. That's the real distinction that matters. I can remember writing articles when Hillary ran for president prior to when Trump ran, and she was speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations, and I stressed many times that Hillary Clinton is not really a Democrat at all, and many of these people are not their party, they're internationalists, and they simply use these party labels to get elected. Not that RBN listeners don't know that, but it bears repeating. And so imagine trying to have a secure border with Joe Biden, who doesn't even recognize the United States as a sovereign nation whatsoever. So we're going to go and give the Border Patrol their, you know, a little appreciation. So that's going to bring a lot of stories forward. Looking forward to that. I don't know if you have any reflections on that, Hesh, or...
Well, it's been really interesting to watch what's going on down there in your neck of the southern part of Texas this year. And the way that it's been politicized, and it's been a mess, Mark. Honestly, it's been troubling to watch. Even the way that Fox News reports on it, I'm finding it's so strange. My mental emotional relationship with Fox, when I do watch Fox, it's like oftentimes they're on the point, like they're saying what we want to hear, but then they leave out the context that fills in the part that you just said, where it's like, well, the Democrats and the Republicans are essentially still working together, you know, on Capitol Hill towards these anti-American goals of globalization, open borders, all this garbage, CRT, COVIDian lifestyle, mandates, statism, authoritarianism as the new religion, if you will. And I'm a little annoyed at Fox. It's like I have these moments where it's like, all right, Ingram, that was well said. All right, Tucker, well said. But then at the end, they try to just wrap it all up and aim it all at the left. And it's muddy media, because they're telling us the truth up to a certain point, but then the dialectic has to be inserted so that the outrage can simply just radiate and bounce off between those on the power right and the power left of the political spectrum. And the viewers are most often none the wiser, I'm afraid, because they've very skillfully set up a dialectic that just leads to an outrage event or a heck yeah, you know, and what do we do from there? We post it on social media and we move on, and our country slouches, you know, further and further towards away from what it should be.
Yeah, you know, I see this discussion morphing into one about the media in part, and Ron, you can chime in a couple minutes, but Fox News often, and you probably watch it often enough, Hesh, to see this, Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, they'll say the media is distorting things. The media is attacking Trump. Fox talks as if it's not part of the mainstream media, mass media cartel. They speak like they're apart from it, and they're not. And what is worse, a honest socialist communist that says, I'm an honest socialist communist and I want to undermine your country, or someone who speaks the conservative line but leaves out essentials to where you don't really understand what's going on, and they soothe you and they validate some of your opinions, but ultimately they betray you? Which is worse, right?
Yeah, because it leaves the viewer in a state of cognitive dissonance. It leaves them with no solution other than to hope that somewhere in the next 4-year cycle they can make an improvement with the next guy. And what do you, if it's month one of that 4-year cycle, well, gosh, by the time you're 4 years down that cycle, I mean, look what happened to the mainstream, I'll just call them normies, you know, even somewhat apolitical, left-leaning, zeitgeist type of people. Look what happened to them during Trump. It was like, before he was even elected, it was like, oh, I don't like it. I'm feeling the outrage that the media has inserted in me. And then 4 years later, 4 years later, 3.5 years later, you've got people, you've got a color revolution happening in multiple leftist cities. People are literally in all black, burning down police stations in Minneapolis, while MSN reporter sits there and goes, well, there have been small occasions of violence here, but this is a mostly peaceful protest. He's literally standing in front of a burning police station behind him, saying this to people. And then January 6th happens, and it's like, oh my God, we have an insurrection. Well, okay, so some people were let into the building by the Capitol Police. They didn't break anything. They didn't. Okay, there's definitely some stagecraft going on with the injuries that were reported there, I believe, but we will never know that. But we're told that was an insurrection. That was the worst thing since 9/11 that's happened here. What an insult to the 3,000 people that died there, and their friends and family, and the death of our Constitution that came with the Patriot Act right immediately afterward. So, you know, it's like, But anyway, back to these people on the left, they all got radicalized over those 4 years. And I'm afraid that what Fox is going to do is just the other side of that coin. And by the time we're done with Biden or Harris, if, you know, I don't expect Biden can actually make it 4 years. The guy looks like he's about to fall over into a vat of ice cream and just melt into oblivion. But anyways, by the time this 4 year cycle is up and those of us in the mainstream right part of the zeitgeist, you know, the Fox viewers, no offense to Fox viewers, I'm among you in a sense, but they're going to be so mad after all of the reports on critical race theory, women being raped in public on public transit in Philadelphia, our borders being smacked with Haitians, our small businesses, our middle class being attacked while the border is fully open and people are flooding in, while Americans are stuck in Afghanistan and Afghani nationals are being brought into the state, while our shelves are empty and the shipping containers are just full sitting in all these docks while the Fortune 100 lies to us about why that's happening.
Yeah, it's a multifaceted mess, that's for sure. And Fox, while they go to a certain point, like you say, they'll take it to a certain point and then it just kind of drops off. And they leave out the dimensions we're talking about, the internationalist part. You don't hear that word internationalist. You don't hear the words power behind the throne. You don't hear, the media, the Fox wants to act like it's separate from the rest of the media, CNN, MSNBC, but structurally and corporately and altogether, they're not. And so they're trying, in a way, they're trying to sort of preclude somebody going past Fox, looking beyond One American News, looking beyond other so-called alternative news. They don't want them listening to the Heschers and Andersons and Averys of the world, that's for sure. But I do know a friend in England, Lou Collins, that's Louise, Lou's a gal. She did have the Trump, the early Trump official, why am I not thinking of his name? General, help me out here.
Flynn?
Yeah, Michael Flynn. Thank you. Yeah, I was drawing a blank there for a minute. She had General Michael Flynn on her show. That's the equivalent of him being on my show or your show. And this is starting to happen slowly. I've talked to Dr. Robert Malone off the air. He's been on Fox. And when you talk to them in our language, they're like, whoa, wait a minute here. There's another dimension besides Fox, you know? And I think this is what's going to be happening. One person at a time is people that have been on Fox are going to start appearing on our shows. And it is happening. It's slower than it should be. And the question then becomes, will they be more outspoken or less? Are they going to be willing to talk to those like us or not? But some of them are, including Michael Flynn speaking to Lou Collins. And that was fairly recently. And it's very interesting what happens when they do. And they realize, maybe I can speak a little more freely. Maybe I can bring up stuff that I couldn't bring up on Fox. And I see this as a barrier. They talk about glass ceilings. Maybe that's the wrong metaphor, but I see this as something that's really important to give a ascendancy, a boost to our media. Because the mass media cartel, as we all know, is such a major impediment to understanding what's going on, what appears to be a dissolved federal government, to understand what's going on, to get the right prognosis so we can solve the problems. Instead, Fox and them, they just kind of get everybody riled, for the most part.
Right.
Let's be outraged. What do you think, Ron? It seems like they want to create outrage and they want to create awareness there's a problem, perhaps, but there's not much in the way of constructive solutions precisely because these dimensions are left out of it. You have any words, any thoughts, Ron, on that?
Yeah, just a few to agree with both of you. Obviously, even Fox News leaves their viewers and listeners with the only option is to vote Republican.
Yes.
And so the mass media cartel actually, which has kind of overthrown the government, they actually basically control both parties. And so the only solution that you're ever going to hear from them is either vote Democratic or vote Republican. That's the only solution. Well, my question to all of that is how in the world did we get in this condition? Because we've been doing that for how many years? I mean, we essentially lost the country doing that, and now we're going to gain it back doing that same thing? No, and if they talked about principles, see, people would realize, wow, there's a whole lot more solutions than just voting Republican and Democrat. And really,
in fact,
the other thing is that's all they ever talk about is the elections and who's running for what. So even immediately after the election, the very next day, what are they talking about? The upcoming election in 2 years or 4 years, which, come on, man. There is more to life than voting. So, anyway, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I probably understated it some years ago when I wrote columns in local papers around Southwest Michigan, Northwest Indiana, letters to the editor, articles in my own publications, you name it, where I would say, well, we need other parties to get involved. And I think that's true. We hear a lot about the accuracy of voting and people stealing the vote count. Now, to the extent that elections matter at all, they should be honest and they shouldn't be stolen and they should be accurate. But there's an old saying that no good man was ever discovered by an election. And I'm beginning to think it's true. In other words, elections are a very limited utility if the country's not operating on the right basis to begin with. You're just going to keep electing guardians of a warped, tyrannical, abused, or possibly dissolved system. So putting different people at the wrong steering wheel is still going to steer it wrong because they're at the wrong steering wheel. They're driving the wrong car. The car doesn't run or go in the direction it's supposed to go in. So merely changing the driver will not do anything. Now, that being said, I think it's just as bad of an election fraud to not give other parties, like the Constitution Party, more respect and more publicity, because that way people are cornered into only voting Republican or Democrat, and they don't know there's other choices on the proverbial menu. But once again, if other parties got involved, it might bring some nominal improvements, like maybe some, you know, constitutional tradition and things like that, proper principles. But the ship of state is really in tatters here, and I don't know exactly what the solution is, but it starts with the truth. It starts with accuracy, and yes, having elections and being kind of hoodwinked into only voting for the dominant parties is a way of channeling people's energy away from longer-term real solutions. I think we can all agree on that. We got about a 1 minute before the break. Anything to add, Hesh, before the first break?
Yeah, I'm pretty downtrodden about mass elections, presidential elections, mayors, governors, that kind of thing. After what we've seen, I feel like we had our chance in 2008 and 2012 to demand that other parties be shown the same access and respect, and in the Ron Paul movement, and that was brutally stepped on. And that's indicative of where we are now. And I'm concerned, Mark, that the political voting process is broken.
Yeah. And we're coming up on the break, but Jesse Ventura, when he was elected Minnesota governor, not as a Democrat or Republican, claimed that when he got elected, he was called into a meeting with CIA people and they asked him his intentions. I can't prove that happened, but it's a very interesting thing to consider.
Yeah, yeah, and that fits along with Catherine Austin Fitz's experience also in the government.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, we'll be back with more with Hesher and Ron Avery and myself. Stay tuned.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendabite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendabite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Seems we've seen the last that we need stand. Well, all the flea markets and the paper routes. If you can't trade your book, you get muscled out.
And welcome to the next segment of Stop the Presses on 22 October 2021. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live today. If you go, here's an important announcement we make once in a while on behalf of myself and Ron Avery. If you go to the show schedule at republicbroadcasting.org and you go to our shows and click on them in that list, you'll see where you can order bumper stickers from Liberty Stickers, and that includes bumper stickers that support and advertise my show, Stop the Presses, Ron's Tuesday and Thursday show, The Search for a Lawful Government, and promote RBN at the same time. Less than $5 a pop, very high quality bumper stickers. Trust me, they look great and they're very durable. Check it out. As we're talking in today's show, every penny, every nickel, every dime and quarter that goes to support the alternative media is one less amount of money, that much less that's spent on any newspapers or outlets of the mass media cartel. Reader by reader, viewer by viewer, quarter by quarter, dollar by dollar, we're going to take down that behemoth and get rid of the mass media cartel and keep strengthening the alternative media. We got to do it, ladies and gentlemen. It's not really a political thing so much as a communication thing, an information thing. Then the politics change, not the other way around. So check it out. Anyway, Also check out my guest Hesher's shows, alternatecurrentradio.com. Lots of good stuff there. Every Thursday there's the roundtable I was on last night and many other shows. He can tell you more about it, or you can go to that website. Again, alternatecurrentradio.com. Not alternative, but alternatecurrentradio.com. Get that part clear.
That's right.
Anyway,
like,
Hesher.
Like power. Like AC/DC, right?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for being on the show, Ron. Always good to have you on, too. Of course, you make the engineering possible for the video live stream, livestream.com/Ron Avery/stop the presses. That is in real time. A little bit more of a delay, I understand, than the audio-only signal, the republicbroadcasting.org, but both of them automatically archive, so you can listen and view after the fact. Anyway, we've been talking about the futility of party politics, the real face of the media, particularly looking at Fox News, not really being our savior. Yes, helping out a little. Yes, saying a few things and pointing out things that need to be said. But ultimately, they're not the answer. They're part of the problem, as good as it might look compared to the rest. But anything would look good compared to MSNBC or CNN. You could literally have a fifth grade news team out there as a school project, or maybe eighth grade, and do just as well with a little effort. But anyway, what's going on, Hesh, in this short segment? What's coming up on Alternate Current Radio that we might want to know about?
Well, let me see if I can just give the listeners here and the viewers on live stream a short summary of what we talked about last night, because they might be interested to go listen to that episode of Boiler Room. Myself,
go ahead. Yeah.
You and Infidel Pharaoh and Ruckus and Odd Man Out and Spore. We had a great meeting last night in the boiler room, and we opened with some reading of the tea leaves in the media here. We opened with a headline that went, "Steaks could soon become champagne-like luxury." And that was an interesting one, and it illustrates something that we've been talking about for a long time, and that is the slow imposition of austerity in the food department, in particular, a assault on those of us that want to remain healthy by eating farm fresh products. as many of your listeners may have noticed, the cost of beef has gone up significantly in the last 6 months. So we went a deep dive on that, and then we switched into a very strange topic, and it dominated the rest of the program. And it was it started with this headline: "Vaccines in your salad. Scientists growing medicine-filled plants to replace injections." And then we went on to look at a trend happening here with these sorts of headlines. Here's another one out of Cornell University. GMO tomato as edible COVID vaccine. Mexican scientists work to make it a reality. And then, Mark, after you left, we covered two more. This one, I think, is noteworthy. Another global pandemic is spreading among pigs. So we've got this story here out of Wired.com, which is a infamous mass media cartel propaganda outlet, and disguised as a tech magazine. But they're talking about it's a swine flu of some sort, but it's for pigs. And it was detected in the Dominican Republic in July of this year. African swine fever poses no risks to humans, but incredibly destructive to livestock. But here's the rub on this one. It says, as with the start of the COVID pandemic itself, there is no vaccine, right? So they're already talking about creating a vaccine to give pork, to give pigs. And can you just imagine who that's actually for if it's in the meat market?
Exactly. Let's pick up a little bit more of that on the other side. Be right back.
Talk, the single smile, such platonic eye. How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I think you muted your mic, Mark.
Yes, let's try that again. It was muted, sorry. Once again, welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses. My guest is Hesher of AlternateCurrentRadio.com, and I'm also joined by Ron Avery, and we video simulcast today's show, as we often do, to livestream.com/Ron Avery/Stop the Presses. Avery is A-V-E-R-Y. Check it out. Hesh, before the break, you were talking about that it looks like a trip to the salad bar might not ever be the same again. and maybe they would label which ones are vaccine vegetables versus not, if they would be so courteous. But does this look real to you? I mean, it looks to me like it's more predictive programming to get us used to what's coming down the pike. And it may not be a reality like today, but It looks to me like tomorrow it very well could be. But my question is what does this say about their view about vaccine hesitancy and their view about mandating something as risky as vaccines, especially the so-called COVID vaccines? What does that say about them that they would go to such lengths to say, well, here's your vaccine tomato? I mean, that all sorts of bells and whistles go off in my brain that they would even mention such a thing. Right. Let alone actually consider it.
Yeah, there are a ton of people listening to this right now who are immediately, they don't even need to read the article. They're reading between the headline. They don't have to read between the lines in the article. They're reading between the headlines. And folks, if you don't click into it, I'll give you this little tidbit. They're saying, they imply in one of these pieces of garbage, these pieces of war propaganda, that many people have a fear of needles. Like, that's why allegedly 40% of the population here has not taken the jibby jab, because they're afraid of needles. No, I don't think so. I think not. I think people are afraid of stroke, heart attack, myocarditis, pericarditis, Guillain-Barré, what else? Blood clots, death. Yeah, that's more the reason people are hesitant. Alliance for Science, Cornell University, Wired Magazine, and those of us that are of that mindset, we see propaganda like this floating around, and we can tell that it's like, oh, well, this is a way to get these experimental biotechnology spike protein creating mRNA molecules into the human population. It's not a vaccine. We know that. There's never been a vaccine made of mRNA stuff. So this, you know, this is a Trojan horse, I'm afraid, Mark, and they're throwing it in our faces because we know they've stolen our water, they've poisoned the water that's left here, they've poisoned our air, they've changed our weather patterns, and they try to blame it on us. Now they're talking about taking beef away from us, taking small farming away from us because of climate change, which they will blame on us while they're up there modifying the weather. On top of that, we're going to have this medical tyranny. So now we're being extorted. Literally, people are being blackmailed and extorted by their government, by their doctors, by their employers. They're being gaslit. They're being manipulated mentally and emotionally about this topic. And what are they telling those of us that are, have drawn a line here and said, no, body autonomy, I'm sorry. You've crapped all over our republic for years. You've ruined the political system, ruined our financial system, and now you want to ruin our medical system and combine the ruination of our medical system with the ruination of our food system. All this means to me, to get back to your original question, can they even do this crap? No, they can't. They're going to make poison. All they're going to make is poison and stuff that's going to change your DNA, and they'll have the ability to slip it into the food supply wherever they want. And that's what they're putting $500,000 into at one university, $500 million into this whole pig thing. All this money going into this mad science. They're going to do mad science, and they're going to screw up our food supply worse than it is, because as it is with the GMOs, we have done a massive disservice. There's books you can read about what this GMO stuff actually is doing, and it is frightening. And we've all been eating that for years now, not all of us, but you know what I mean. It's hard to avoid if you ever eat out.
Yeah, pardon the unforgivable pun, but the proof is in the pudding. There's another food item that they would and could do this because they've already given us aspartame, GMO. Genetic modification, where they use genetic material even from non-plant sources like fish, I believe, to modify the DNA of a plant. And yes, they say, well, the plant will endure better. It will have larger yields because they'll be less susceptible to bugs, and they'll be less susceptible to weather. And okay, there's something to be said for making something less susceptible to the elements and the insect world, granted, but they've really sold us a major Trojan horse there, so that the pipeline is already laid for putting stuff in the food and water, right? The fluoride thing is a complete mind F, because first they dressed it up like a communist plot so they could gaslight people and discredit those that disagreed with the fluoridation of water by saying, well, you're just a Joe McCarthy communist paranoid type. You think there's a red under every bed, and you characterize fluoridation of water as communism, therefore fluoridation of water is good because you're crazy. But in fact, just like with food, it's just the wrong principle. You don't mass medicate. And what is an attempt to get everyone the COVID vaccine? It's an attempt at mass medication, where individual choices or individual opting out cannot happen. If they put fluoride in the common water supply, then everybody to some degree or another is going to consume that involuntarily in many cases. And so to mass medicate, one could ask the same question. Well, if fluoride is so good for you and mass medicating people in the public water supply is such a great idea, why not put Prozac in there? Because we don't want depression. So let's put Prozac in the public water supply. It's the same principle.
Ideas, Mark.
And so when you look at it through a principles lens, all of a sudden you can see how wrong it is. It has nothing to do whether it's communist origins or not. If somebody wants fluoridated water, you can go buy jugs of it, individually purchased. You're making that willful choice at the store. But the mass water supply should be untainted with any kind of chemical additives like that. And yet they reverse it. Bottled water is allegedly fluoride-free, and we really don't know. And then they mass medicate, claiming that our teeth will be better just because we might swish the water around a little bit. But Gordon Sinclair was a Canadian radio commentator back some decades ago. He said, so we have fluoridated water, so we're going to wash our cars with it, we're going to wash our clothes with it, we're going to make ice with it, we're going to drink it, we're going to cook with it. Why would you fluoridate something that's used for so many things? How much of that is actually going to benefit your teeth anyway, right? And so if fluoride was really something so great, it would be limited to fluoridated water in small bottles that you knowingly and willfully buy, consciously purchase, because you believe that's going to help you. You don't just mass medicate everyone. See, so mass medication has been done through the fluoridation process, so that leads to the COVIDization. Oh, there's a new word for me, the COVIDization process. And then GMO has paved the way for modifying food, and now they're talking about vaccine-type food things like you're talking about, Hesh. So they lay the groundwork, the precedents are already set, and now these are just additional ways to use the existing infrastructure.
Right, right. And
you can see where they're going with this. And then for a while, I know this is almost verboten, this topic in some quarters, but I'm beginning to see what are commonly called chemtrails again, a lot here in Michigan, very, very striking and obvious modifications of the atmosphere by high altitude aircraft. And it's undeniable. It's not just a contrail. It's not simple exhaust from a jet plane that's carrying passengers. It's something else. Yeah. I won't say I know what it is, but I'll say I know what it isn't. Okay? And so, yes, the air, the soil, the water, the food, it's nothing new. The process is not new, but the substances sometimes are, or the ideas. So, you know, the vaccine tomato might be the next thing coming down the pike. But I'm just painting a broader tapestry here.
Yeah. Well, we're just reading the tea leaves here, Mark. And you know, to just drive home the fact that they're prepping the public for this sort of Frankenstein happenings. Listen to this. At the beginning of 2020, 97 experimental vaccines had been obtained with this methodology, including plant-grown antigens for HIV, polio, hepatitis B, rabies, HPV, cholera, and tuberculosis, among other pathogens, and work has been carried out on the cultivation of compounds against cancer and autoimmune disease. Mark, listeners, riddle me this. Have any of these diseases been cured with any strict vaccination or immunotherapy? I don't think so. Last I checked, all of these were still conditions that people were being admitted for. So if we can't solve them with the most simple of science that those of us dum-dums out here, meat and potato eaters, can understand, why are we now moving into experimenting with putting they said a gene was removed from one of them, but whatever. Why are they experimenting with putting HIV, polio, hepatitis, rabies, HPV, cholera, and tuberculosis into food? Why would you experiment with putting it into food when you don't know how to take it out of the human body already?
Yeah, so much of that, Ron, you can chime in here again in a minute. we're kind of free and clear for this last part of the show. So much of that, again, what that does is it helps sell you on their beloved and sacred germ theory of disease. And doctors invariably, and yes, we need doctors for, you know, certain surgeries and certain things, but allopathic medicine invariably says if it's either a germ or the gene that causes all illness. The thing they want to avoid like the plague is toxicity from corporate products. They don't want to go there. So they'll call everything idiopathic, which means of no unknown origin. Excuse me, of no known origin. Pardon me. Idiopathic, of no known origin. So there's lots of medical things where the doctors will just shrug their shoulders and say, we don't know where it comes from. We don't know what causes it. But what they don't want to talk about is what's already been put in the food supply, what's already been put in the water for decades, aspartame, high fructose corn syrup, different things, especially in what's called SAD, the standard American diet, or SAD. That's the big no-no. You don't want to go there. That's kind of like talking about the Federal Reserve's money machinations. You're just not supposed to talk about that. And Donald Rumsfeld was involved in bringing aspartame to the market. So there's some major insiders, too, in the rogues gallery of globalists that have been involved in this. So, yeah, you're seeing more of the same, in a sense. The constantly trying to sell us on the same premise that if you just take Big Pharma's vaccines and their pills and their potions, that somehow you'll avoid death or delay it. But when we really know that malnutrition and toxicity and additives across the spectrum are major suspects in disease and illness, not that germs and genes don't play a role, but germs and genes are not the only culprits. And I think that's the big thing that I think there's a partnership between big food and big medical, and media plays a role too, to not talk about the true origins of illness and ill health. I'm just kind of drawing a line out from where we're going with this.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've always been afraid of needles, and they're just something sounds, you know, a lot more attractive with a big old poison tomato, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that does sound better. You're right.
I can't wait to sink my teeth into a big old poison tomato. You know, whatever happened to stories like Snow White, you know? You get the apple, the witch gives you the apple, and you eat, you know, I mean, is that really, what I want to know is that the best that these big moneyed people can come up with in research, is how to put crap in our food? How to inject us with caca and metals what did they have in the latest thing? And then there's four new, I can't remember what they called them, not amoebas, but there's some kind of living garbage in these so-called vaccines. These people really need to be arrested and given, you know what? You know, a year's work on roofing, doing some roofing work out here in South Texas. Yeah, that's what these people need. They need some serious, real work instead of all that screwing around with how to kill people with chemicals. I mean, let's face it. They made this caca to start with. They made the virus. And it's out here one way or another. Well, they're the inventors of the virus. And all these things they're going to fix it with, we know those things don't work and they cause side effects. Somebody needs to stop these jerks. I mean, they need meaningful work, like I say. Let me tell you, another one is asphalt laying. They should get into some asphalt work, road work, roofing work. I'm going to tell you, it'd give them a whole new lease on life.
I know another job for them. They could rebuild the border wall.
Ooh. Excellent.
Here's a vision. Bill Gates has a hammer and he's helping build the border wall. I'm just seeing it. I know I'm being fast.
He's wearing a Stop the Presses t-shirt, and on the back it reads, "It's honest work."
Right. And I love Ron, Ash, and Mark. They're my friends. That's right. Yeah, he needs a real job. Yeah, but I'm with you, Ron. As long as I don't have that needle, I'll take that celery or that rutabaga or that parsnip or that tomato. Oh, and just give me that vaccine tomato. Give it to me now.
And don't forget to put something like that graphene oxide in there. That's just tasty stuff, you know.
Try the graphene. It's excellent today. I can make a refrigerator magnet stick to my chest. Listen to this, guys. You know, we're talking about where does the money come from all this Frankenstein sort of experimentation? So with this one in particular about the salads, vaccines in your salads, it says, thanks to a $500,000 grant from the National Science Foundation, researchers are now looking to accomplish three goals. I think I read this to you last night, Mark, but it's worth repeating. First, they will try to successfully deliver DNA-containing mRNA vaccines into plant cells where they can replicate. Second, they want to show that plants can actually produce enough mRNA to replace a traditional injection. And third, they want to determine the right dosage people will need to eat to properly replace a vaccine. And then they have a quote that says, ideally, a single plant would produce enough mRNA to vaccinate a single person. There you go, from the UCR's Department of Botany and Plant Sciences. But let's think about that for one second here. Who is the National Science Foundation? Who is the person, the entity that's giving them $500,000 to do this research? Is actually kind of a small amount. I'm guessing they'll be on a yearly re-up for that. But the National Science Foundation is an independent agency of the United States government that supports fundamental research and education in all non-medical fields, science and engineering. Why is a government body with an annual budget of $8.3 billion, they're supposed to do research and education in non-medical fields. I'm starting to see some problems here, some conflicts of interest.
Yeah, they're starting to drive out of their lane, aren't they? They're crossing lanes here. That's a very notable thing. Yeah, we discussed that last night, ladies and gentlemen, those listening live and on the archive. I also brought up the recent foreign policy survey of the Chicago Council on Global Affairs as that organization, the former Chicago CFR, comes into 2022, its centennial year, and they did a survey of Americans, and I'm kind of changing subjects here, but this is in addition to what we talked about with these novel food ideas, and of course, some of the things they deliver on those ships in the trade system, some of those ships hold food and foodstuffs. And we live in a world where we're sometimes asked to eat a tomato or a potato from the Himalayas rather than one grown in our own backyard. Welcome to the world of free trade or the madness. But whether it's political science and the trade regime or medical science and the medical regime, you have scientism, you have ideology. You don't have a republic operating under proper political science. And of course you don't have real medical science. Real science itself, Hesh, political or otherwise, medical, you name it, the physical sciences, the even astronomy and physics have went off the rails, let alone the applied sciences. It's science itself is going the way of the dodo bird and the Edsel here. We're just not seeing real science. We're seeing ideology. Ideology, of course, means that a belief system is presupposed, and that belief system has to be validated. And it doesn't matter if the facts contradicts the belief system. If they do, then anybody that brings up those facts, they're the enemy. The belief system must stand. The status quo cannot be challenged. And so we're seeing in America more than we would ever have expected the rise of ideology, which we used to say, oh, that's a Soviet thing. But they had Lysenko, the agriculturist in the former Soviet Union. He was an ideologist. I think he said you could grow things in the North Pole or something, or in Siberia, and it was just completely absurd. And people said, hey, Lysenko, you're crazy. You can't do that. And maybe they had him shot or something, his opponents, because ideology says that if the ideologue says it's true, then it's true because they say it's true. It doesn't matter if it's actually true. And so now science is becoming the realm of madmen. literally people that are literally mad, literally out of their gourd crazy.
I agree.
Let's invent a vaccine tomato because I can. What do you mean because you can?
Yeah. You haven't even shown us that you can make a vaccine that cures anything yet. You know, there's people that will argue about polio and smallpox, but I'm sorry, if they dig deep enough, they will find that their arguments fall flat. And that's been the case across the board. And you're right, the scientism, it is the New World Order religion. I hate to say it, but it is shaping up as a massive long pole in the New World Order religion, and people won't even realize it's a religion. They don't even realize this whole COVIDian thing, it's a cult. It's a death cult. This whole fear thing that they're making everybody experience, these are death cult procedures. These are mind-washing, brainwashing procedures. And this NSF, this National Science Foundation, speaking of scientism, well, guess what? The NSF funds approximately 25% of all federally supported basic research conducted by the United States colleges and universities in fields like mathematics, computer science, economics, and social sciences. And where are we failing? Where have we done one of the biggest assaults on the American public for the last 50 years that's been escalating exponentially? In the universities. So I'm to believe right here, reading from the Ministry of Truth, that the NSF is funding up to 25% of this garbage, and now they're funding the ruination of our food supply. That in itself is a beautiful illustration of what science has become, so-called science. We need to distinguish something Infidel Pharaoh says a lot. We need to distinguish between the scientific method and what they call in the media the science. When they say the science, it doesn't mean anything.
Right. We're going to have to wind up today. I don't know if you got any final icing on the cake comments, Ron, but yes, science has become unrecognizable and basically useless in its current form. It's just ideology. Real science is gagged and bound in the dungeon. Real science is self-correcting. This new scientism will not hear any arguments. It will not hear any contradictions. It is the exact opposite of self-correcting. And that's part of the COVIDocracy, the fall of political science, the dysfunction or dissolution of the republic. But Ron, any capstones on the pyramid today, or shall we just let it sail off?
One real quick one. Where would we put it if we put a grant? If we wrote a grant to determine what lawful principles of government were, where would we submit that grant to?
Who would fund it? Yes.
Cents.
Yeah.
Who would fund it that we could recover the political science that the founders used to put the republic together, right? We'd probably have no takers. Not much money in it, I suppose. Oh, thanks again, Hash, for being on the show. AlternateCurrentRadio.com. See our videos at livestream.com/Ron Avery. Click on the Stop the Presses icon. We'll see everybody probably next Friday. I got some travels, so I probably won't be live till next Friday, but next Wednesday is a possibility. But everybody have a great weekend.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.